Blog Talk Radio.
Found the power.
have another story I want to tell you. Can I tell it? Somebody don't want to hear my story. Can I ask you one more time? Can I tell my story? Okay. I was reading the other day about a man named Moses. I was reading where one day God called Moses. Told him to Moses, I want you to go down in Egypt land. I want you to tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. And you know how that story goes. Moses began to kind of question God. Said, now, Lord, are you sure I'm the one? Said, you know, my tongue is a little tired and I don't speak real well. Lord told him, said, Moses, all I want you to do is just go, and I'll go with you. Just open your mouth, and I'll speak for you. Moses went on and told Pharaoh what the Lord had said. But you know how that story goes. Pharaoh's heart was hard, and he wouldn't let those people go. Well, after God had brought several plagues upon the land of Egypt, he called Moses again. Said, Moses, I want you to go back and tell old Pharaoh, if he don't let my people go, tell him there'll be a great cry in the land of Egypt. Tell him that all of the firstborn in that land will be killed. And then, Moses, I want you to tell your people, I want them to kill a lamb. I want them to put the blood on either side of the doorpost. So when the death angel comes and see the blood, he'll pass that door back. Moses went on and told Pharaoh what he said, but he wouldn't let the old people go. And the Bible tells me it was midnight when there came a great cry in the land of Egypt. All of the firstborn in that land was killed. That lets me know that God moved. God moved at midnight. I got another story. Can I tell that one? Talking about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. When they went out to wait on the bridegroom. And you know how that story goes, don't you? The foolish ran out of oil. And the Bible said it was about midnight when somebody cried out, the bridegroom has come. I got one more. I got one more. And then I'm going to leave you alone. Talking about old man Paul and old man Silas. When they were bound down in that Roman jail, didn't have nobody that could go their bail. Now, can I imagine just a little? I imagine old man Silas had been troubled ever since that jailer closed them doors. And I imagine Now that he had taken all he could take, he looked at Paul and told him that, Paul, oh, Paul, don't you think we ought to sing a song of prayer, prayer? And you know how it is. If you ever been in a situation where you knew that everything was going to be all right, but somebody else was all trouble and tore up about it. See, Paul had been in Rome, and Paul already knew that at midnight, all the Roman guard would go to sleep. But he knew that the God he was going to call on never sleep. So I imagine a little bit again. When Paul looked back at Silas, he told him that, Silas, oh, Silas, let me tell you what we gonna do. We gonna wait till the midnight hour when all the Roman guards go to sleep. We gonna wait till the midnight hour when it's just Jesus, you and me. Cause he's the only one I know that can deliver us and save our souls. Let's wait until the midnight hour. Let's wait until the midnight hour. Come on, let's wait until the midnight hour. Can I say one more thing? One more thing. Sometimes I love to be in company. Then again, I want to be all alone, so I can talk to my heavenly Father up in heaven on his throne. I can call him in the morning, noon and night, but anytime I call him, oh, it's all right. But I'm gonna wait till midnight. I'm gonna wait. I'm gonna wait till midnight. I believe I'll wait. Can I have one more privilege tonight? I want to call somebody else here. Now, I done called my brother, my uncle. Now, I got a friend I want to call. If it won't make nobody mad, I just like to do that. That will do my night. Y'all have made me happy. But if I can call him, that will make my night. Y'all, can I make my night? Anybody seen Mr. George Dean? Would he come this way? Will y'all give my hand for me? Now, I don't know for sure if I can get him to sing, but I'm going to try. I'm going to try. Thank you.
Tell your mayor, tell your congressman. Good morning. Jesus is alive, and he can heal. He can raise anybody from the dead. He can open blind eyes. He can cause the deaf to hear. He can heal cancer. Oh, he can heal leukemia. He can heal gout. Yes, he can heal any pain, any sickness, arthritis. He can heal it because he's God. He's alive. He's not dead. Father, we thank you and we praise you, O God, for allowing your son to come to the earth, to leave his home in glory and come into time and be a sacrifice for mankind, to give us another chance to repent and come to you and bow down at your feet. This morning, O God, we ask for your mercy and your grace. We come in this morning with a heart of repentance, asking that you would watch over us, that you would keep us secure in your love. Father, we ask that you speak to us through your word. Let your words be the very essence of our heart this morning, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Touch all those under the sound of my voice that are on the line now and those that would be listening by way of computers, cell phones, however they're listening, near or far. Touch and heal this morning, O God, as we were praying this morning for Prophetess Millie's sister. We pray that God turn everything around for her and that God heal that tumor and Prophetess Misha. Lord, we pray God heal everybody that have any type of sickness in their body this morning. People have been crying out and people have been leaving out of here. But this morning we want to talk about anointed for God's purpose. Anointed for God's purpose. Anointed for God's purpose. And how many of you know that when God called you and God appoints you and God approves you, God's appointed, approving, and anointing you for his purpose. He's not anointing you so that you can go down to the corner store and show off how good you look and what you have and what you don't have, what a fine car you're driving, what a nice home you live in, what a nice gated community you live in. It's not for that. God has not anointed you, appointed you, and approved you for you to show off, for you to boast. Because without his shedding of his blood, none of us will be able to boast. Not one of us will be able to boast. But if you're going to boast, boast in what the Lord has done for you at Calvary. Boast on that. Tell the world what Jesus has done for you, what he's doing and what he will do if you continue to love him and walk right before him in faith. Here in the book of First Samuel, let's start there, First Samuel. And we're going to do the first 19 verses, I believe. And then Yahweh said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn about Saul, King Saul? I have rejected him from being king over Israel. Fill up your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have chosen a king for myself among his sons." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears, he will kill me." Yahweh said, or God said, "You must take a heifer from the herd with you, and you must say, 'I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh.' You will invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will make known to you what you must do. You will anoint for me the one whom I tell you." No. This man that God has chosen to be his prophet, his seer, Samuel, is a mighty strong man. Hallelujah. He's a mighty strong man. And God is using Samuel all over the place. But Samuel has seen the power and the authority of God. But he also know that Saul can be a wicked king when he want to be. So Samuel was afraid that Saul would kill him, would take his life. And he told God, he said, "Look, if Saul hear that I'm going to anoint David and make David king over Israel, he would kill me. And God said, look, now, take a little cow and take him up there, baby cow, and take him up there and sacrifice him for sacrifice unto me. Saul can't reject that. And at the same time, invite Jesse and his sons. And I will show you which one of Jesse's sons that I'm going to make king over Israel. Verse 4 says, so Samuel did what Yahweh said. He came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him. They said, have you come in peace? He said, I come in peace. I have come to sacrifice to Yahweh. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. So he sanctified Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. No. This man, I have one of the same horns. I bought that horn, a ram's horn that you put the oil in. And Jesse, when he come to town as the prophet of God, people would be afraid. Jesse was powerful. He was mighty in God. You know, God would work through this man in a tremendous, glorious way. So people knew that when Jesse comes to town, something heavy is going to happen. Something miraculous. When Samuel comes to town, something miraculous is going to happen. And people could lose their life. People could go blind, become crippled, because he's that type of, he has that type of power working through. Yahweh power works through this man. The horn of oil for anointing the king. The son of Obed, Jesse, the son of Obed, and grandson of Boaz and Ruth. Ruth chapter 4, verse 17. First Chronicles chapter 2, verse 12 to 15. Hallelujah. Jesse belongs to the tribe of Judah and appears in Samuel as a civic leader in the town of Bethlehem. First Samuel chapter 16, verse 1 and verse 4 to 5. He is best known for being the father of King David, who was the youngest of his 8 sons. Jesse appears in chapter 16 and 17 as an obedient servant to the king, sending his son to serve Saul as well as deliver supplies to his army. The legacy of his name continues throughout Israel history due to its connection with Davidic messianic hopes. This is especially the case in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and verse 10, Psalm 72, Acts 13 and 22, Romans 15 and 12. And you can look at the book of Zerah, chapter 45, verse 25. Now, here, the logos continue. When they came, verse 6, when they came, he saw Eliab and said, surely his anointed one is before Yahweh. But Yahweh said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God does not see what man sees. For man looks on the outward appearance, but Yahweh, God, looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab, and made him pass before Samuel, and he said, this one also Yahweh has not chosen. So Jesse made Shema passed before Samuel, but he said, Yahweh also has not chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to Jesse, Yahweh has not chosen any of these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, the youngest still remains, but look, he is shepherding the flock. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we cannot sit down until he come here. So he sent and brought him. Now he was ruddy, with beautiful eyes and of handsome appearance. And Yahweh said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the midst of his brothers. Then the Spirit of Yahweh rushed upon him from that day. Then Samuel got up and went to Ramah. Now, let's go back here and look at this. Verse 6. Let Saul, Eliab was impressive in appearance and stature. In 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 2. But the heart, God emphasizes that superficial and non-spiritual considerations are not to be critical criteria for the choice of God's leaders. In other words, looking on or choosing someone by the way they look or the job they have or what they drive or where they live in is not the criteria for to be a servant of God. The heart must be right. They must have the right attitude, must be compassionate, must be loving, must be forgiving, must have mercy, extend mercy and grace to others. The one also Yahweh has not chosen, the narrative does not record exactly how God communicated with Samuel. The prophet may have used the Urim. Alternatively, God may have communicated internally or in a voice that only the prophet could hear. Seven of the sons of Jesse is also recorded as having eight sons, including David. Chapter 17 and verse 12, the same book. The youngest, the Hebrew word used here, Quatam, can mean young or small. Since Saul and Eliab are singled out for the height, the narrative is likely establishing a deliberate contrast between their statues and David's. He is shepherding the flock. The narrative calls David a shepherd. In his introduction, David's leaders are often described as shepherds in the Bible. Samuel chapter 1, 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 3. The shepherd motive also occurs in ancient Near Eastern literature. We cannot sit down, Prophet Samuel said. They won't eat the sacrifice until David has arrived, as in chapter 1, verse 4. Chapter 16, verse 13, the Spirit of Yahweh compares the Spirit coming upon Saul to empower him to act as king in chapter 10, verse 6. Chapter 11, verse 6. Also contrasts with verse 14, where the Spirit departs from Saul. David, Jesse's youngest son. David shepherded his father's flock until conscription into Saul's service. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 13 to 16, is verses 11, chapter 16, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 11, verse 19, 21 to 22, chapter 17, verse 15, chapter 20, 17, verse 15 and 20, and 1 Chronicles chapter 2, verse 13 and 16. There he achieved widespread fame through his military successes and garnered the love of the people. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 17, verse 13 to 16, and verse 30. Chosen by God and anointed by Samuel, David assumed the throne at age 30, following Saul's death, and reigned for 40 years. So he was 70 years when he ended reigning over Israel. Chapter 13, verse 14, chapter 15, verse 28, chapter 16, verse 13, 2 Samuel chapter 2, verse 4, 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3 to 5. Though beset with personal difficulties, his reign is characterized by military success and economic prosperity. He defeated his enemies, expanded his territory, secured his borders, and increased Israel's national revenue. His achievements paved the way for Solomon's prosperous and peaceful reign. Chapter 16, First Samuel chapter 16 and verse 14 to 23. As Samuel has predicted in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse 11 to 12, Saul took David into his military service. Initially conscripted for his musical capabilities, the young David would prove to be far more valuable. Verse 21. Especially in chapter 17. Now the Spirit of Yahweh departed and deliberate contrast to David in the preceding verse. An evil spirit from Yahweh, Saul has made himself God's enemy and is treated as much from now on. Chapter 18, verse 10, 1 Chronicles, 1 Samuel, and chapter 19, verse 9, 1 Samuel. The exact nature of this spirit is unknown. The Hebrew word used here, ruach, may describe some form of mental anguish or a general sense of calamity. Nevertheless, a literal spiritual being sent from Yahweh is also possible. Exodus chapter 12, verse 23. And 1 Samuel chapter 16 refers to an instrument, a lyre, is an instrument. And it was with 6 to 8 strings used in celebrations, worship, and prophecy. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 5. You will feel better. Ancient beliefs that music warded off evil spirits. So Saul sent for David to play his music, play his lyre, like a harp, play the harps. And then David would play this lyre, hope I'm pronouncing right, and the lyre, so it suits Saul. All as he's angry, he's been angry and he's tormented by this spirit. But when David begins to play Saul would become, he would drink his wine and eat his grapes and so on, and his lamb, and he would sit back and recline, and he would recline in his chair, and he would become relaxed. So he sent for David. In chapter 9, Saul's servants have more wisdom than he does. Chapter 9, 6, chapter 9, 8. Chapter 16, a brave man the Hebrew phrase used here, Gibbo, to yell, denotes a mighty warrior, Judges chapter 11, verse 1, or a person of significant social stature, Ruth chapter 2, verse 1, 1 Samuel chapter 9 and 1. Here this characteristic function is in a list that cumulatively establishes David's character and abilities. In verse 19, with the sheep, the narrative again hints at future kingship, pointing out David as a shepherd. If you learn how to shepherd, if you learn how to take care of people, God will put you in position. I don't know, you could be on a job as a laborer, but because the way you treat the people, the foreman would elevate you to supervisor or manager. Because why? Because the way you treat the people. But if you're not treating the people, because you will be elevated. Now, the Bible said David is a man after God's heart, own heart. And when the Bible saw that David was a compassionate man, he knew how to extend mercy and grace. He had love in his heart, compassionate. But he also was a promiscuous man. He loved women, and that was his downfall. No. In Isaiah chapter 46, let's look there. Isaiah chapter 46, let's start at verse 10. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pledges, calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executed my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, and I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, and I will also do it. Hearken unto me, you stout-hearted that are far from righteousness. I bring near my righteousness, it shall not be far off, and my salvation shall not tarry. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel my glory. Hear the Lord speaking. The Lord said he knows the end before the beginning. This is why he could choose David. He knew David would be a good king. But he also knew that David would falter. And he knew that David had a heart for the people. He knew that David loved the people. So he chose David. David was not going to go against God. The only thing that brings situation with David is David loved women. And he committed adultery. But God loved him. Now, here, let's go to Acts chapter 13. Glory to God. We just want to put a word on his.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Deacon. We just want to put a word on his. Acts chapter 13. Hallelujah. It's pouring down rain here. We got rain here like crazy, but it's good. I'm not complaining because we need the water. Acts chapter 13 and verse 22. Let's start at verse 22. And the Bible says, and when he had removed him, he raised up unto him David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. See what God does? God removed people and he put up people. He removed Saul and he put up David. Hallelujah. God would do that. When Moses was died, he put up Joshua. He always have a ram in the bush. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Here, let's go to another scripture. Let's go to First Samuel chapter 13. First Samuel chapter 13, and let's go verse 14 and 22. Here, but now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. Now Samuel is talking to the king, and he tells him, he said, look, God has removed you. God has found a man after his own heart, talking with David. And Saul and Samuel arose and got him up from Gilgal unto Gibeah of Benjamin. And Saul numbered the people that were present with him, about 600 men. And Saul and Jonathan his son and the people that were present with him abode in Gibeah of Benjamin. But the Philistines encamped in Michmash. And the spoilers came out of the camp. And the Philistines in three companies, one company turned onto the way that leadeth to Ophrah, unto the land of Shur. And another company turned away the way to Beth Haram. And another company turned to the way of the border that looked to the valley of Zeboim, towards the wilderness. Hallelujah. Now there was no smith found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews made them swords or spears. But all the Israelites went down to the Philistines to sharpen every man his cutter, and his axe, and his mattocks. Yet they had a file for the mattocks, and for the cutters, and for the forks, and for the axes, and to sharpen the goods. So it came to pass in the day of battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people that were with Saul and Jonathan. But Saul and with Jonathan his son was there found. And the garrison of the Philistines went out to the passes of Michmash. Now, it came to pass upon the day that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said unto the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over to the Philistines, garrison. This is on the other side. But he told glory to God. But he told his father, and Saul tarried in the uttermost part of Gibeah under a pomegranate tree, and which is in Migron. And the people that were with him were about 600 men. And Ahia, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod, brother the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli, the Lord's priest in Shiloh, wearing the ephod, and the people knew not that Jonathan was gone. And between the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over unto the Philistine garrison, there was a sharp rock on the one side and a sharp rock on the other side. And the name of the one was Bozi, and the name of the other, Sene. The forefront of the one was situated northward over against Mishmash, and the other southward over against Gibeah. And Jonathan said to the young man that bear his armor, come, and let us go over into the garrison, and these uncircumcised, come and let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to God, to the Lord, to save by many or by few. And the armor bearer said unto him, do all that is in thy heart. Turn thee. Behold, I am with thee according to thy heart. Then said Jonathan, behold, I will pass over unto these men, and we will discover ourselves unto them. See, Jonathan, Saul's son, he loved David. David was his friend. But he is going out under the unction that God would give him supernatural favor. If they say thus unto us, tarry until we come to you, then we will stand still in our place and will not go up unto them. But if they say thus, come up unto us, then we will go up, for the Lord hath delivered them into our hand. And this shall be a sign unto us. And both of them discovered themselves unto the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, behold, the Hebrews come forth out of the holes where they had hid themselves. And the men of the garrison answered Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said unto the armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord hath delivered them into the hand of Israel. And Jonathan climbed up upon his hands and upon his feet, and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer. Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after them. And that first slaughter with Jonathan and his armor bearer was about 20 men. Within as it were a half acre of land, with a yoke of oxen my plow. And there was trembling in the host in the field, and all, among all the people, the Gershon and the spoilers, they also trembled, and the earth quaked. So it was a very great trembling. And the watchmen of Saul in Gibeah, Benjamin, looked, and behold, the multitude melted away. And they went on beating down one another. And then said Saul unto the people that were with him, number now, and see who is gone from us. And when they had numbered, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. And Saul said unto Ahiah, bring hither the ark of God. For the ark of God was at
that time with the children of Israel. And it came to pass, while Saul talked with the priest, that the noise that was in the host of the Philistine went on and increased. And Saul said unto the priest, withdraw thine hand. And Saul and all the people that were with him assembled themselves, and they came to the battle. And behold, every man's sword was against his fellow, and they were a very great comforted. Oh, moreover, the Hebrews that were with the Philistines before that time, which went up with them into the camp from the country round about, even they also turned to be with the Israelites that were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, all the men of Israel which had hid themselves in among Ephraim, when they heard that the Philistines fled, even they also followed hard after them in the battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed over unto Beth Aven. And the men of Israel were distressed that day, for Saul had adjured the people, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food until evening, that I may be avenged of my enemies. So none of the people tasted any food. And all day of the land came to a wood, and there was honey upon the ground. And when the people were come into the wood, behold, the honey dropped, but no man put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. But Jonathan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Wherefore he put forth the end of his rod that was in his hand, and dipped it in the honeycomb, and put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were enlightened. Then answered one of the people and said, thy father straightly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eateth any food this day. And the people were faint. Then said Jonathan, my father hath troubled the land. See, I pray you how my eyes have been enlightened, because I tasted a little of the honey. How much more of if haply the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found. For there not being now a much greater slaughter among the Philistines. See, Jonathan began to say, look, his father make rules that was not consistent with God. He was making his own rules, and it causing the people to suffer. Hallelujah. Sometimes we make things and we say things that we shouldn't say. We do things that we shouldn't do, and it caused the people to suffer. Hallelujah. If we would just listen and seek God, you notice that every time that Samuel was going to do something, he sought God. He sought God. We see that last night in the word we brought forth from prayer line from 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And we see that Jehoshaphat, when the people were coming against him, actually about four nations was coming against him. And what did he do? With a little bit of people, he went before the Lord. He sought the Lord for instructions on how to deal with his enemy, and God gave him victory. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 17, and let's put a couple of verses there. We'll soon finish. 17, chapter 17, 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 17 and 18. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of the thousands and look how thy brethren fear and take these flesh. Now Saul and their and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines, and David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper. See what happened when David left? He didn't just left the sheep out there wandering about themselves. You see what he did? He left the sheep with a keeper. Where we go out and we go out to Africa or we go to another nation, we can't leave the church building just by itself. We have a deacon, we have an elder, we have another pastor, we have somebody else that's going to watch over the sheep till we come back. That's going to preach them the truth like we do. See? So here in this chapter 17, the Bible talks about from verse 1 to 58. In this chapter, David proves his valor and demonstrate that he is fit to be Israel's next king. The Philistine giant Goliath taunted the armies of Israel daily. When David came to deliver food to his brothers, he heard the haunting giant and was grievously offended. He charged Goliath with only a shepherd implements and struck him down. As a demonstration against the Philistines, David captivated the giant. David decapitated the giant. That means he cut off his head. The Philistines. Let me look back at the page. David decapitated the giant and took his armor. This was Israel's first victory at the hands of David. David is a mighty man of valor. The Bible says David rose up early and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going. He came to the trench as the host was going forth to the fight and shouted for the battle. For David and for the Israelites and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. Everything was in formation. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and salute his brethren. And as he talked with them, listen to his brethren, behold, there came up the champion. Hallelujah. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion of the Philistines, Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words. And David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. See, the word today, anointed for God's purpose. Anointed for God's purpose. You are anointed for God's purpose. I'm anointed for God's purpose. We are anointed for God's purpose. So don't think that it's about us. Stop thinking that it's about us. We are anointed for God's purpose. Whatever God wants us to do, that's what we're anointed to do. David heard the words of Goliath, the taunting of Israel. the men of Israel, the soldiers, all the soldiers begin to run. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it said, it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make him and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men and stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the approach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he shall defy the army of the living God? And the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his elder brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, brother against brother. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and thy naughtiness of thy heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? See, David's brothers is always mocking him. See, because he's the one that he's not cleaned up, he's in the field. He's out there in the field taking care of the sheep. He is the one that watches over the sheep while his brothers are pumping themselves. Their hair is nicely cut. They are shaven. They are clothed in nice fine linen. You understand? But David has his nasty rags and clothes out in the field, out there in the wilderness with the sheep, making sure that the sheep has good water, that they have good grass. And he is doing all of this. That's what God shows him. And the brothers now, the elder brother Eliab is making fun of David and telling him that he's prideful and how he's coming out here because he wants to see the battle. Who do you leave the sheep with? But David said, what have I done now? You're always accusing me of something. What have I done now? And I was, I came here to bring you all some food and bring you all some grapes and bring you all some corn and something to eat. But you now gonna accuse me of naughtiness and this thing and that thing. What have I done now? And is there not a cause? David asked. And he turned from him towards another and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former matter to tell them what the king said, what the king would give to the one that killed Goliath. That's what it said the matter. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Listen to David, the little boy. And Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, a little guy, and he, a man of war from his youth. King Goliath is a man of war. He know how to fight. David, you don't know. All you know to do is take care of sheep. But David's not going in his own sense. He's anointed for God's purpose. He's anointed for. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. Listen to David. David is telling Saul, giving Saul, this is his resume. He's giving Saul his resume. You know, you got to remember what God has done through you, allow you to do. So David is giving Saul, this is the resume I'm giving you, King Saul. This is what I've done in the power of my Most High God. While I was attending the sheep, taking care of my father's sheep. There came a lion and a bear and took the lamb. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I cut him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the army of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paws of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Listen to me. When you know who you're serving, when you know that you know that God will never leave you nor forsake you, when you know that he has backed you before, when you know he has defended you before, it doesn't matter. Look back and see the sickness that you had before. You remember when you was down with the flu and everybody looked at you because you was in such, you had such high fever and they thought you was going to die? But who delivered you? Who strengthened you? Who took the flu out of you? Remember when the arthritic pain was taking you down and all of these pains. And you remember when they say you had this and you had that. And you was in the hospital. You could hardly breathe. Can you remember those times? Remember when you was in that car accident and they said that you would die, that you would not recover. But God brought you up to the hospital. Can you remember that? Can you remember when you got in that such a bad accident that the car was total, but you were still safe? Can you just give God praise for that? Hallelujah. Well, David remembered how God had delivered him in the midst with the lion and the bear come and took the sheep, the lamb, the baby sheep. Hallelujah. But God gave him strength to defeat the lion and the bear. Hallelujah. Not only to save the lamb, but he saved his life. When the devil and the lamb want to eat him alive, David was able to kill both of them. Hallelujah. And he's saying, he's praising God. He's praising God. The same God that delivered me. And when the lamb and the bear come before me to steal my father's sheep, he's the same land going to be the same God that's going to deliver the land of the tribe of Judah. He's going to deliver me against this uncircumcised Philistine. Hallelujah. So he told David to go to the Lord. And Saul armed David with his armor. And he put an helmet of brass upon his head as he armed him with a coat of mail. This is heavy armor, metal armor. And David girded his sword upon his armor. And he assailed to go. For he had not proved it. He didn't try. He didn't. This is not a weapons or armor that David used before. David is accustomed to a sling and a bow, arrow and a bow and a sling and a stone. So David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them. Hallelujah. And David put them off him. And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in the shepherd bag, which he had, even in his quip. And his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. He belittled David. He began to talk down and look at David like he was a dog. Hallelujah. He didn't think David was fit to come up against him. But David was not going up against him in his own strength. Hallelujah. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou camest to me with staves and the Philistine cursed David by his gods. In 2 Kings chapter 8 and verse 13. Hallelujah. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 12. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the fields. Then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a shield. You came to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword, and for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Now I want to let you know that David began to speak in the name of Jehovah God. I want you to know that when you're talking about sickness in your body, and when you're talking about lack of finances, when you're talking about trouble in your marriage and trouble in your family, you got to put that family under the blood. You got to put it under the blood of Jesus. You got to put your marriage under the blood. You got to know that you are anointed and you're appointed. Oh God, you have been approved by God for God's purpose. And you got to say, in the name of Jesus, I speak against this sickness. In the name of Jesus, I speak against this lack of finances. In the name of Jesus, I speak against of trouble on this job. I speak in the name of Jesus that I'm victorious. I speak in the name of Jesus that I have more than enough. You got to speak this thing out. Glory to God. So David went forth. The Bible says, and it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran towards the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and slung it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. You see how he did? The stone is in his forehead, in the center of his forehead, and he fell and sank his face in the earth. What happened then? The stone went even deeper into his head and killed him, because David was anointed for God's purpose, and God's purpose was defeating the Philistines for men to see and glorify God. Do you understand? Men to see and glorify God. What do you see today? What do you hear today? Do you hear the word of God? Is the word of God encouraging you today to trust God in whatever situation you're dealing with? He fell to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in his hand, in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistine until thou come to the valley, to the gate of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way Shesharim, even unto the Gath, unto Gath, and unto Ekron. And the children of Israel returned from chasing after the Philistine, and they spoiled their tents. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, and put his armor in his tent. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David turned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now let me tell you something. God got all the glory, because David is constantly praising God. And you go into chapter 18, you will see David praising God. Hallelujah. He's praising God. God gave him the victory. God has anointed me. God has anointed you. God has anointed us to declare that he is God. He is Lord of all nations, all continents, all situations. No situation is too big for God. Everybody's dealing with something today, but God is still God. God is still God. Father, we thank you and praise you for this word that you have given us today. And thank you for empowering us to even come on here today. We was having such dreams on last night that was kind of messing with us. But, Lord, we came on anyway. Our body was acting up with strange pains and attacks in my body. But we still came on anyway, because in spite of what's going on, we are still going to come and we are still going to declare that Jesus is Lord. And, oh, Father, as we depart from this line now, oh, Father, we ask that you cover this line and cover those that came on this morning to hear the word, cover Deacon Fraser, cover his family, cover his mother, cover the bishop, cover the apostle, cover the evangelist, the apostle, and bishop, and all the prophetess. We ask for your covering today, and we ask for your protection. And, Lord, we ask, God, that we leave this language, your mercy and your grace. Oh, Father, we ask that you touch those and those that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Just say a simple prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on Calvary, that you were crucified then, that you were buried, and that God raised you from the dead. I believe this in my heart, and I'm confessing with my mouth. Oh, God, I denounce Satan and all of his agents. And today I accept you as Lord, Savior, and soon coming King. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and take up your rightful position in my heart. Be my Lord, be my Savior, and be my King. I accept you now, Lord. And I decided right now, as I heard the word today, that you will anoint me for your purpose, O God. And Lord, I will live my life as you lead and guide me by your Spirit. Fill me with the Holy Ghost that I might go forth and learn how to live a life that gives you glory. And after you say that prayer, you believe it in your heart, you have just received the gift of salvation. So just get a Bible and begin to study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the book of Acts, and study the whole Bible. And seek out a pastor that know how to baptize in the name of Jesus Christ, and tell him you received the gift of salvation, and you're filled with the Holy Ghost according to Acts 2:38, but you want to be baptized. In Jesus' name. You want to be baptized in Jesus' name. But before you get baptized, invite your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Tell them that you're getting baptized, because this is a very important time in your life. Very important time. And you want witnesses of this occasion that you're getting baptized. You're giving your life completely over to Christ. You're going down the water with him, and you're surrendering to that lifestyle to live for Christ Jesus. You understand? So know that you're doing that. And then after you come out that water, you've been washed in the water. No. Look for a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. You want to find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel and get yourself connected.
Okay. We thank God for you all. For those that heard the word, we want you to have a blessed day. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and sweet communion of the Holy Spirit continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives as we dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. Remember to tell someone that God loved them, you loved them, and Jesus is the only way. It may be the word that you speak today that make all the difference in somebody's life. Might stop someone from committing suicide, stop someone from committing murder, from kidnapping a child, raping a child, sodomizing a child, or even breaking into someone's home and committing some heinous crime. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. He said, let your light so shine before men that they will see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. You want people to see your good works because we all have bad works. All of us have some bad works, you know, and they just lean dormant. They lean dormant. So any time that we don't allow Christ our Savior to lead and guide us, those bad works will show up and they will try to lead us into a bad way. So he said, but let your light so shine, the light of God, the light that illuminates, let it shine in you and through you that men will see and they will glorify God. I thank God for you all. We thank God for you all, Jesus. And thank God for Brother Deacon. He's so faithful. And thank God for the rest that came on and hear the word. We shall see you tomorrow. Somebody will bring the word tomorrow. I don't know yet who. Maybe Prophet Smiley. But the word, the line will be on anyway. So come on tomorrow and let's just get a word from the Lord. It's not about the crowd. It's not about the crowd. Remember, I always say that. It's not about the crowd. It's about the cloud. The cloud. The cloud of God represents his presence. It's about the fire. The fire of God represents his presence. So a lot of people want to see the line fill every time. Sometimes the line is going to be filled. Sometimes it's not going to be filled. But regardless if it's filled or not filled, we still got to bring the word of God. We still got to preach and teach, you know. I remember being on the line, just me and Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, and sometimes just me alone, and sometimes just she alone with the Holy Ghost. We thank God. We thank God for you all. Have a blessed day. We'll talk to you soon, and God bless you. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.